Turn to John, the Gospel of John 14. John chapter 14. And it has been my pleasure and a real joy to be here with you and to see old faces and then try to remember the names again. I really appreciate you ladies for the food that you have prepared. Without you, we would starve. Me and my son was watching TV at home some time ago, sitting there for a good while, talking, watching TV. And my wife came home, and I said, "Would you care to fix me a peanut butter sandwich?" And Jason said, "You waited for her all this time to come home and fix you a peanut butter sandwich." I said, "Son, there is nobody can fix a peanut butter sandwich like your mother." I'm telling you, ladies, without you, we'd starve. And we appreciate it. All right. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, let's consider who's saying this. If I say that, if I just say don't let your heart be troubled, well, you can probably just blow it off. But this is the God of creation. This is the God of redemption. This is God, our Savior, saying to His disciples, and that's everyone who ever believes on Him. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. If we could see from the point that He sees from, we wouldn't be troubled at all, would we? We wouldn't be troubled at all if we could see what He sees. But until then, let's just believe Him. Until we are in glory and we have the mind of Christ and we are rid of this body, just take Him at His word and trust Him. And that's the cure for heart trouble. This whole message, the cure for heart trouble, is to believe Him, to take Him at His word and trust Him. Now, our Lord comforts and instructs His disciples in the face of His own sufferings. He is about to suffer the wrath of God for our sins, for the sins of all His people. He's about to suffer. He's about to be made sin, and then he's about to suffer for those sins. The wrath of God. But in the light of that, in the light of His approaching death, He comforts. He's concerned with His disciples. He comforts His disciples. Do you remember when our Lord stood at the grave of Lazarus? There's Mary, there's Martha, their hearts are just broken. They are weeping, crying. Others are crying. And it says, Jesus wept. The best comment I've ever heard on this is this. He felt everything He took away. Here is the high priest touched. He's touched with their infirmities. He's touched with them. He knows that their hearts are troubled. They are troubled, and they're going to be more troubled in just a little while. This is just right before He is taken to the judgment hall and whipped and then to the cross. And He knows their hearts are troubled. He had just told them back in chapter 13 that He's going to be leaving them. He's going to leave them for a while. He's going to come back. He's going to come back and get them. You know, He said, as I said to the Jews, I'm going to go away. Where I go, you can't come. But He says to them, He said, but now I'll be back after you. I'm going to come back after you. But I've got to go. I'm going to go someplace that you can't go right now. You see, where I'm going, you can't go there and come back from there. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to suffer God's wrath. You can't do that. And after I go there, and I take away the sting of the sting, and after I take away and remove the curse, then I'm going to come back and get you. And then you're going to go with me. Then you're going to go with me. And so he's trying, he's comforting their hearts. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. The scripture says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, the scripture says. If there is anything that we have in common, it's heart trouble. It's heart trouble. If there's anything common throughout this whole world, it's heart trouble. Now, our Lord tells us how troubled hearts, speaking to His disciples now, to those who believe on Him, He tells us how troubled hearts are relieved. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I don't know if there is a stronger declaration of His deity than this. The same faith that you exercise in God, you exercise that in me. My, what a statement of deity. You trust me the same way you trust God. My, so. You believe God. Here's what He's saying. You believe God. I know you believe God. He knows our hearts. He knoweth them that trust in Him. The Scripture says He knoweth. He knows every heart that trusts in Him. He knows them. And He's saying this. You do believe in God. You do believe in God. Faith in God is the only real cure for heart trouble. To the believer. To the believer. You know, Henry told me one time, he said, you can't counsel unbelievers. You can't counsel, he said, you can't do it. They don't, you know, here's what we counsel, the Word of God. And the unbeliever's not going to take the Word of God. He has nothing to receive it in. But he's speaking here to his disciples. He's speaking to his children. Now, you believe in God. You believe that God is real. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. It starts there. And that He is who He says He is. You believe that God reigns over all, and that none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? He knew they believed in a God like that. You believe that His power is infinite. You believe His wisdom is infinite. You believe in His love to you. You believe that. He knew they believed that. You believe in God. Well, exercise that same faith in me. Listen, you believe in God whom you have not seen. Now, in a little while, you're not going to see me. He's going to go back to the Father. He's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, in a little while, when you cannot see me anymore, you still exercise that same faith in me that you exercise in God. You trust me. Just trust me. What are you saying? Just trust me. You know, I've said that to my boys growing up. Why? No, just trust me. And as I've gotten older, there's very little things I really understand. I don't understand what all is going on. But I tell you this. I understand this. I understand that God is God. That God is sovereign. That God is wise. That God is good. That He makes no mistakes. And that's who I trust. I don't need to understand the rest of it. I don't need to. Let Him glory in this, that He understandeth and knoweth me. He doesn't understand what's going on. Not everything's going on. I don't know all that's going on. Why? But I understand something of who He is. And He said, now you trust me. You trust me. When the nights get long, and you have no light, and you can't see me, and what they are about to see is going to be very troubling. He said, you just trust me. Take me at my word. Take me at my word. To trust Christ is nothing short than trusting God Almighty. Nothing short. As God is, so is Christ. And to trust Him helps to relieve troubled hearts. To just lean hard upon Him. My grandson comes over on the weekends. And for the last couple of weekends, he really just gotten, wants Mom off. Now, I'm just a piece of furniture there. But he loves Mom. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm just a piece of furniture. But he loves Mom off. And for the last couple of weeks, he's come over. I mean, he's trying to melt into her. I mean, it's just like he just wants to melt right into her. Melt right into him. Lean hard upon him. Lean hard. Listen. Listen to God's word. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nothing can be against us. Nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Then he names all those things. Nothing. Nothing shall separate you from his love. Nothing can separate his children from his love for them. Nothing takes him by surprise. He's seen everything. He's ordained everything. He's ordained all our afflictions. Nothing ever comes to us that takes him by surprise. He already knows it. He's already determined the end of it. So lean hard upon him. And now listen what he says to them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And then he directs their attention to something. It's just not an empty statement. He says, in my Father's house. He's talking about home now. He's talking about a place he knows about. Home is a comfortable place. That's so sad in this sinful world that for many it's not. But home should be a place where you're loved. You know, when I went to Marvin's last night. I didn't get in your refrigerator. But I go to my mom and dad's, I just open the refrigerator up. It's home. It's comfort. It's love. You know, I'm sure you might have thought, what's he doing? You know, but mom and dad don't think that. It's home. It's home. In my Father's house are many mansions. Here's another cure for troubled hearts. My Father's house. My Father's house. Now, I want you to notice this. Our Lord so wisely takes their minds off this world and He sets them on things to come. He sets them. He sets them on His Father's house. If your mind is on these things, you're going to be troubled. You're not going to find any happiness in any of these things. Not anything lasting. It'll be... In a little while, it'll be troubling. Your heart will be troubled. But He takes their minds off of this world and sets them on things above. And that's what He says. You quoted in Colossians 3. Set your mind, your affections on things above where our Lord sits at His right hand. There's a man in glory, a real man seated at God's right hand right now, ruling and reigning everything for our good. Everything God does for us is good. What He gives us is good. What He takes away is good. If He makes us laugh or if He makes us cry, it's good. It's good. So He takes their minds off the earthly kingdom that they were looking for. And He sets them on His Father's house. On His Father's house. And our Lord did this because in His Father's house dwells love, joy, peace. And I'm going to tell you something. Sinners are welcome in His Father's house. They're welcomed in His Father's house. Come and dine. That's why He said, come and dine. Come and dine. Thirsty, come and drink. Hungry, come and eat. That's what dwells in His Father's house. No trouble in my Father's house. No trouble there. And that's where He's going. He's letting them know, this is where I'm going. I'm going to my Father and your Father. And also, in my Father's house are many mansions. That means this. That doesn't mean there's a lot of just big buildings up there and we're all going to get to live in a bigger house than we live in here. It's many abiding places. Yeah. Dwelling places. Plenty of room. No vacancies. But plenty of room. No vacancies. No, he didn't say, well, this one didn't accept me. I'd take his name off. No. I'll show you something here as we go along. In my Father's house are many mansions. You see, they had left all to follow Christ. And He assures them. And He assures us. That they have a sure abiding place in His Father's house. There's room for you. And there's a place. There's a place there for you. For you. There's plenty of room, and each one of His children are going to have a place there. I grew up. 7 children in the family. Me and my 2 brothers shared 1 bedroom. And then my sisters, they had 2 more bedrooms, and they shared bedrooms. Well, there wasn't plenty of room there. We were kind of on top of each other. Then we moved from that house, and I slept in the laundry room for a couple years. My mom wouldn't want me to tell you that. But I liked it down there. But he's saying here, in my Father's house is plenty of room. Heaven is not a little place. My soul, it's spoken of as a country. If it were not so, I would have told you. Because he knows what it's like. He came from there. He said, I know exactly what... I'm telling you something I know. I've been there. Well, not only been there, he is there. Because he says, where I am, not where I'm going. He says, where I am, that's where you're going. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. You see, Christ is the embodiment of truth. Every word that came out of his mouth, he didn't just tell the truth, although he did. But every word is truth. He's the very embodiment of it. You're looking at truth when you look at him. Amen. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in the truth. Everything that came out of his mouth was pure, unadulterated truth. And since he came from that place, he ought to know about that place. And he knows who's going there. He knows who's going to be there. Now, I want you to listen. He said, I go, here in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I go and prepare a place for you. He didn't say, if I go and prepare a place and leave it at that, then whoever accepts me will have a place. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, you. That's particular, isn't it? He's using particular language here. If I go and prepare a place for you, God has never, now get this, God Almighty has never taken His children to a place that He has not already prepared for them. When God made the heavens and the earth, and He created everything. He made the Garden of Eden. What did He make last? Adam. And He took Adam and set him in the garden. There it was. All prepared. It was all prepared. Let me read something to you. I marked it here this morning. Let me read this out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord speaking to his children after he brought them out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy 6, let me read you verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Now he says, when this happens, and when you eat and you're full, now beware lest you forget the Lord did these things. But now listen. He said, the Lord's taking you to a place that's already prepared.
Amen.
If I go and prepare a place for you. You see, Peter said, no, you're not going to go. You're not going to die. No, this is part of the preparation. If I don't die, it's it. It's over. You're not going to that place and no one else is either. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He didn't say, I'm going to go and repair the place. I'm going to go and prepare. I heard my pastor say years ago, never forgot this statement. He said he went to prepare a place of acceptance. We lost our place in Adam. In Adam, we lost the way to God, the truth of God, the life of God. Jesus Christ is everything to us. He is our life, He is truth, and He's the way to God. But He's not going to repair, He's going to prepare. The Lord of that place has come into this world and became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, that He might, as a man, satisfy God's law, satisfy God's justice, and go and take possession of heaven for a people. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. Now, they don't understand. You see, they're on that side of the cross. You and I are on this side. And He said, now, the Holy Spirit, and later on in this chapter, He's going to come. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. My Father's going to give Him to you. He's going to come, and He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. And you'll understand what I'm saying after a while. You don't understand them right now, but you will. You will. So He went to prepare. He said, I go prepare a place for you. Going into the Holy of Holies. Going to take possession of heaven for you. Look over in Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9. Look in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. There's a man in the presence of God representing us. The surety. Representing us. They are troubled over Him leaving and the kingdom of heaven not being set up at that time. But listen to what He's saying to them. I'm going to enter heaven itself. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to set up a little kingdom down here. His kingdom is spiritual. He said, I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the devil will come back after you. He's going to take possession of it for you. You and I cannot do that, but He can. This man can. This man can. Now for Him to do this, to prepare for us a place of acceptance for God, He's got to suffer the penalty that's against us. Can't go around it. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Did it? That shows you it's not possible. That shows that there is no possibility of being saved any other way than through Him. Him drinking that cup, Him being our substitute, Him taking God's wrath. It's not possible to be saved any other way except through a crucified Christ. The only way. And all this preparing is of Him. It's all His. And listen. Not only did He have to die, but He wrought out His righteousness. And then listen. And the dress code of that place is His righteousness. There's a dress code in heaven. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And no one who is not made righteous in Him will not be in that place. It won't be there. And He's the one who's going to do all the preparing. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, it's not a joint effort here. It's all He purged our sins by Him. By Himself He purged our sins. It says over in Hebrews chapter 1. All the preparing is of Him. It's all of Him. All that is required to fit us for that place is Him. In Him, says in Colossians 1:12, in Him you are complete. In Him. Now if I go and prepare a place for you, if I do this for you, no one's going to have any part in this work. You see, He says, I'm going to do it, and if I do it for you, you can be sure of this. I promise you this. If I go and prepare this place for you, I will come again. You'll see me again and receive you unto myself. You believe that? Do you really? Then let not your heart be troubled. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read this chapter. When you get a troubled heart, read that chapter. Read it. He says, I'll come again. He's not going to send for me. He's going to come for me. He's going to come for me, and He's going to receive me unto Himself as a trophy of His grace. I'm looking at some trophies of His grace. And He's going to display us throughout eternity as trophies of His grace. He's going to receive us as a father receives his children. How sweet is that? That where I am, you notice He says, where I am, there you may be also. He doesn't say where I'm going, where I am. You see, He was in the bosom of the Father the same time He was on this earth. This is Jacob's ladder. This is Jacob's ladder. Where I am, there you may be also. No more separation. You know, that we all have to die. Henry said to me one time, we was walking away from a funeral, from a gravesite. Henry looked at me and he said, I'll be glad when we quit dying. I'll be glad when we quit dying. Well, there will be a day when we will die no more. And there'll be no separation. There'll be no more heartaches, no more tears. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know where I'm going. I just told you. To my Father's house. And the way, you know, it's me. It's me. I told you I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to come and get you. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I'm glad they asked those questions. I'm so glad they were allowed to do that. We don't have to look so stupid. He allowed them to ask. You ever been in a classroom? Teacher asked a question, and you knew the answer. I mean, you knew the answer, and then some knucklehead got their hand up first, and she asked him, and he gave the same answer, and it was wrong. You think, boy, I'm glad I didn't answer that. Oh, I'm glad I didn't do that. Thomas, I'm glad he allowed them to do this. I'm glad he did. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He said, I just told you, I'm going to my Father's house. Well, we don't know where that's at. They thought it was somewhere out there, you know, in a different location. Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we've never been to that place. How can we know the way? How? Where is this place at? And the Lord Jesus says unto him, Thomas, you're looking at the way. You see, religion preaches a way. The gospel is the way. Amen. Christ. Amen. Yeah. He's the way. He's not a way. He's the way. He's the way to God. He's the way. He's the way. It's what he's saying. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The way is a person. It's a person. There's no earthly road or system that leads to that place. The way to God is Christ. The way of acceptance is Christ. The way of peace is Christ. The way of righteousness is Christ. The way of justification is Christ. He's it. No other way leads to God but Christ. All the ways lead opposite. They take you away from God. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. He's the way. I want you to listen to this. When the Lord healed the woman with the issue of blood, and that leper came to him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." Now listen. They did not look to a righteousness produced. They did not look to blood that was shed because it hadn't been shed yet. They was looking to that person that was standing in front of them. They were looking to the Lord, our righteousness. You see, He didn't produce righteousness and sit over here to the side and say, "Now look to this." We look to Him who is our righteousness. We look to Him whose blood was shed. Christ is the way. Christ is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is my righteousness. This man, this God man, He is my righteousness. And He's the truth. He didn't just tell it, He is the truth. He's the revelation of truth. He's the revelation of truth. You don't believe the truth until you believe Him. It's not believing a story, it's believing Him. Job said, "By the hearing of the ear I've heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee." And I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. We learn the truth from the truth. That's what we do. "And I am the life." Life was manifested. We've seen it. And His name is Jesus Christ. The name of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." We have no access to God except in Christ. No other way. "Now if you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Herein lies our greatest problem. If you had known me. If you had known me. Our problem, our troubled hearts arise from lack of knowing Him, trusting Him, believing Him, taking Him at His word. That's where they come from. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. I didn't come to the doctrines of grace. I came to the God of all grace. And then I learned the doctrine. Then I learned them. If you really knew me, here's what He's saying. "Thomas, if you really knew me," and he's going to grow. We grow in grace and knowledge of Him. "If you really knew me, your hearts wouldn't be so troubled." If you really knew me, you'd know the Father and your hearts wouldn't be so troubled. "And from henceforth, you know Him and have seen Him." He speaks in the presence of things that's going to happen. But He speaks of it as though it's already done. He said, "Henceforth, from now on, you know Him. You know Him." They hadn't realized it yet, but in knowing Him, they knew the Father. They knew the Father. And in seeing Him, they saw the Father. And they've come to realize this later on. Now Philip said unto him, and I'll close this. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us." It'll satisfy us. Let us see the Father with our own eyes, like they were looking at Him. They wanted to see the Father like they were seeing Him. And that will satisfy us. No, it won't. No, it won't. Whatever these eyes see never satisfies. No, I can. Whatever these old fleshly eyes look at never satisfies. It's that eye of faith. It's that eye of faith that He gives to see, that hearing ear, that seeing eye, that He gives that He gives. That's what we need. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. My father, my earthly father, saying, John, have I been with you so long you still don't recognize me? Here he is standing there in the flesh. Here's the Son of God in the flesh, but here's the Father also. The Father's in me. And he's speaking. He said, Philip. He could have said, Son, don't you recognize me? I'm your Father. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here I am. You look at me, you're looking at the Father. Don't think the Father is something different than the Son. He said, we're one. We are one. Look no further than Christ when you look to the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now I'm going to close this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He doeth the works. He's saying the words I speak are the works of the Father. Receive thy sight. He said, you've seen the Father at work. You know, when He spoke, things happened. It's not like the Father is sitting inactively by watching like it's a movie going on. Salvation is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't separate that. You cannot separate it. It's the work of the Trinity. He said, the words I speak are the works of the Father. Now, if you don't believe this, at least believe what you've seen. At least believe the work that you have seen. No ordinary man can do this. No ordinary man can do this. The cure for troubled hearts. The cure is to believe God. Take Him at His word. Trust Him. When you don't understand what's going on, you're like a child of God sitting in darkness. Trust Him. That's why He sent His disciples. Don't let your heart be troubled. Just trust me. I'm coming back. I'm preparing a place. I'm about my Father's business. I'm finishing the work. I'm finishing the work, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to get you, and then I'm going to take you where I am. In my Father's house. And the things we go through here, it's just part of the journey home. Okay.